Hi, I'm Rob Wright.
And I'm Andrew Hickey.
And we are here to discuss the 2012 Consumer Electronics Show, Andrew.
CES.
Yes.
Rob, I understand you're going out to Vegas. You are going to, what, for how many times is this?
This is the third year in a row for CRN. I have gone a number of years in the past as well. And I have a feeling this year is going to be a bit of a down year.
What leads you to believe that?
Well, the last couple of years have been really good. 2 years ago, Lenovo came out with a lot of really interesting stuff. There were, you know, they had the U1 Hybrid, their notebook tablet product, which was, excited a lot of people. Even though they didn't end up releasing it in North America, it kind of led them into a sort of a new era for them in terms of innovation. They had a lot of interesting products. A lot of 3D stuff 2 years ago as well. 3D TVs, 3D goggles, headwear, all that sign, you know, crazy stuff. Last year was the year of the tablets. Everybody had a tablet last year. And I have to admit, I thought it was kind of fun going around all the different booths. Every vendor, you know, even TV makers, you know, seem to have a tablet, so...
So what's this year? Is this year, you know, the rumors are that Ultrabooks are going to be
the marquee feature. The year of the Ultrabook.
How do you feel about that? What are you expecting on the Ultrabook
front? I can't get jazzed about it. I am a PC lover, as you know. I like computers. I like messing around with them, tinkering them with them, upgrading them, building them. But the Ultrabook model, to me, I can't really get jazzed about it too much. It reeks a little bit of the whole netbook thing. Like, the netbook was just kind of a new category that Intel invented because of the Atom chip, and you see netbooks now are starting to fade. There's nothing really special about them. And the Ultrabook, all the Ultrabook is really, it's sort of loose, a set of loose parameters for a specific type of notebook that is slim and light and has solid or even excellent performance. And my point to that would be is shouldn't that be every notebook? Shouldn't every notebook these days?
You have
days,
a point there, yeah.
Unless it's a mobile workstation and it's a 12-pound behemoth, that's running an Intel Core i7 processor. You know, it's got 16 gig of RAM and, you know, a 1 terabyte hard drive and all that jazz and discrete graphics cards. Every laptop to me should be light and thin and have good performance. Mm. So I'm not really jazzed about the Ultrabook.
But. So if you're not stoked about this being the Ultrabook's year at CES, I mean, what's getting you fired up? What's out there that's coming that you're going to get a sneak peek of or going to get a really good look at CES this year? What's the technology that's just going to blow you out of?
There are a few things. I mean, there are a couple interesting items that I think are they'll turn some heads. I think that they'll be interesting for our audience and not just, you know, the consumer electronics show audience. For me, I'm interested to see what Intel has coming out with their Ivy Bridge chips. You know, they did the Sandy Bridge chips last year, and those have been a pretty big hit. The Ivy Bridge is a new architecture for them. It's it's a completely new, actually. I think it's 22 nanometer process, so it's a big deal for Intel. I mean, I don't know how much they're saying it could deliver 15 to 20% higher performance than Sandy Bridge, and Sandy Bridge was 30% higher performance than the previous generation. So it's definitely something interesting for me. They also have a new Atom chip that they are releasing called Medfield, and that is supposed to be for tablets and smartphones and sort of trying to get them into the game for the smaller mobile devices where Intel has not been historically very strong and is kind of getting beat up by ARM Holdings over in the UK, which is dominating the mobile device space. So those are two interesting things that I think could have a big effect on the channel. In terms of other products, there are a few. There's still a lot of tablets coming out. ViewSonic has another ViewPad device that it's going to be more for, I guess, business users, the ViewPad 10 Pro. that's actually going to carry Windows and Android on the same device. You can boot up either one. That's kind of neat. A lot of Ultrabooks, though. Dell's got an Ultrabook. Lenovo's got an Ultrabook. HP's got an Ultrabook. I mean, it's all Ultra all the time. And I think that this year is going to be one of those years where, you know, after two CESs with a lot of excitement, you know, a lot of new products, a lot of interesting stuff that, you know, had a lot of buzz. Mm-hmm. I think this is going to be a year that's going to be a sort of a down year. Like an odd number Star Trek movie, basically.
What are you expecting from Microsoft? They've come out and said that this is their last CES.
Yes.
Steve Ballmer, is he going to pull out all the stops this year? Is he gonna go out with a bang, or are they going to limp away from CES?
I doubt it. I don't know. I'm guessing that the keynote is going to be heavy on Windows 8. That's a big bet for them. Much more so than Windows Phone 7. I don't know. The last few years that Ballmer has done that keynote, they've been kind of... there haven't been a lot of surprises. There hasn't been a lot of excitement. You know, this was an area that Microsoft was really good at. You know, these sort of opening night keynotes. They used to do them at COMDEX years ago. They actually introduced the Xbox at COMDEX. I think it was 2001, if I remember correctly. And they've had a run lately of just, you know, announcing products, releasing products, going back to Windows Vista that haven't been very exciting. And I don't know what they could announce that would be a surprise at their keynote. There could be something interesting. I mean, we should probably talk about the rumor, the news
Nokia,
that broke today, that, yeah, that they're... Microsoft is close to or about to acquire Nokia's smartphone division.
Now, you don't think that's a good move. You've been vocal that doesn't make any sense.
Well, I don't put a lot of stock in acquisition rumors to begin with, because I think they're usually wrong, because it's very hard to leak that kind of news without getting in trouble in terms of insider trading and, you know, breaking rules and regulations. And it's just, there's a reason why you don't hear a peep, you know, any hint whatsoever about a lot of major acquisitions, is because they have to keep them locked down. And even, you know, upper management a lot of times doesn't know what's going on. But let's say that this rumor is true. It seems odd to me because Microsoft already struck an alliance with Nokia. They're investing, you know, a few billion in cash into this alliance to make sure that Nokia has enough marketing support and has enough development funding to go toward, you know, building solid Windows Phone 7 devices. So to me, if you were already doing that, you know, why would you turn around and spend more billions on acquiring the hardware? When it is, I mean, it's just the hardware. You have the IP, you have the OS. I mean, that's what really matters. And it just seems silly. Like, if I were Microsoft, I'd wait to see how Nokia Windows Phone 7 devices play out before, you know, going ahead and buying them. Like, don't you want to see, like, you've already invested some money in them and this alliance. Like, why not wait and see what comes of it before you go and buy them? But to your point, I mean, we talked about this earlier, Google and Motorola. So I don't know if that's put a little bit of pressure on Microsoft. Sure, certainly they're feeling like they need to do something.
I think a lot of weight comes with having your own hardware in-house. But your point to that, them already striking that deal with Nokia, you know, test the waters and see how it goes before you buy the whole thing.
Yeah, it
makes sense.
Why you're getting the milk. Like, why go ahead and buy the cow? Just wait on it. See how the market responds to these new devices. If they start selling well early on, then maybe you go to Nokia and say, hey, let's just make it official. I don't know. But I have a hard time believing that they would announce a major acquisition like that, you know, on stage. It just doesn't happen. But there could be some interesting things there at the event during his keynote about their mobile strategy in terms of, okay, this is what, these are how our smartphones are going to be different,
mm-hmm.
regardless of whether they acquire Nokia or not. It'd be interesting to have them get up there and really kind of illustrate what their vision is for, you know, maybe how they're going to integrate. I know they've talked about it a little bit, but maybe how they're going to integrate Windows Office applications, you know, into smartphones.
Yep.
You know, productivity applications. I mean, that's sort of, you know, look, there's tons of apps out there. We know that there's games and stuff to pass the time, but, you know, phones are becoming more and more advanced every day, and it just seems like that's a sort of a logical area for Microsoft to focus on. So we'll see if they do that. But Windows 8, to me, if they can come out there and show a few prototypes and show Windows 8 kind of doing what it needs to do to be a competitor to Android on the tablet, I think that's going to be really, really interesting. But in terms of other big blowouts, I don't know. I just, you know, Kevin McLaughlin, our colleague, Kevin's going to be covering the Microsoft keynote again this year. We neither one of us like has very high hopes for something like truly amazing or truly exciting. It's just hasn't been Microsoft's MO lately.
Are there any companies taking the keynote stage that you think are going to you know, quote unquote win CES this year? I mean, who's going to take that stage and really wow everybody? Who's gonna rattle the cage?
It's interesting. In terms of keynotes, they're kind of thin again this year. You know, you have Ballmer and Microsoft doing the opening night keynote. Paul Otellini is doing the second day keynote again, Intel. And that's sort of, they've been sort of the tandem the last couple of years. Interestingly enough, the Verizon CEO had to drop out of his keynote, the Wednesday power panel that he was doing with Ursula Burns of Xerox and I believe the CEO of Ford Motor Company. And I don't know what's going on with Verizon, why he had to drop out. It seems a little weird, and I definitely have some concerns about CES as a show, looking at that, coupled with you know, Microsoft pulling out, and I'll get to that in a minute. But there's always a lot of first day press conferences, smaller press conferences, not necessarily keynotes, but you know, Lenovo did a press conference 2 years ago, and they really wowed a lot of people with some of the new products that they had, like the hybrid, some of their tablets, and new notebooks, just really turning people's heads and making people think differently about them. NVIDIA introduced their Tegra 2 chip, powerful mobile chip that has transformed that company, I think, from just a graphics company to a player on the CPU side. There are a few companies that have press conferences lined up. I mean, Sony's doing something again, Panasonic, Lenovo, obviously. But it's tough to kind of tell right now which one of them is going to be like stealing the spotlight. Hopefully it will be one of them. There always seems to be at least one company that kind of gets out there and kind of, you know, steals the buzz for that day and says, oh, well, hey, did you see, you know, people start walking around. Hey, did you see that press conference? Were you there? It was really good. They have a really interesting product. As I've talked about in the office, though, the past couple of years, the press conferences on the first and second days of the event, they hold them at the Venetian. Those press conferences have been pretty stacked with a lot of big, well-known companies. And this year, it seems like, they don't have the same sort of lineup of marquee companies. Like I said, there's Sony. Lenovo's doing its own press conference at a different location, but Panasonic's going to be there. Intel's having a press conference, but after that, it's a little thin. It's not the same sort of potent lineup. But
people, you know, typically go to Vegas and CES for the parties more so than the news.
Oh, the parties.
I'm under the impression that you got an invite to a party featuring the Jersey Shore's own Snooki.
Yes.
And I understand you'll be putting on your Affliction t-shirt, doing up your blowout, and heading out there to spend time with her.
Yeah, I don't know if I'm going to be attending this event. I'm actually not even. I'm looking it up right now. I think the company is... it's called iHip. Yeah. I think they do peripherals or you know, iPad or iPod,
very, very
iPhone cases.
Focused.
Yeah, very consumer focused, and they're throwing a shindig with Snooki from the Jersey Shore, and everyone seems to want me to go to that so I can report back on what a debacle it is.
Well, as a major fan of Jersey Shore,
I am a fan, and I'm not ashamed to admit it, but I have a feeling I'll be worn out and a little tired by the time that rolls around, but you never know. Might be around for it. But there are a lot of, there are a lot of crazy parties with sort of B-list or C-list celebrities this year.
Who are some of the other? Have you heard any good pitches?
There are people I don't know. You know, I don't know the name of any sort of pseudo famous reality star. I wish I had the list of parties in front of me, but it's I've been getting a lot of strange pitches.
Are there any strange product pitches that you've got?
Yeah, there was one about
out of the ordinary.
There's one about a device that would power your mobile phone or smartphone with water. It doesn't sound right.
Safe.
I'm not really sure what that is all about. But
it's called the phone ruiner.
Yeah, the phone drowner. There's been a few things. There's a product called smart goggles from a company called Sensix, and it's not even like 3D eyewear. It's actually like a helmet that has its own OS and Android OS inside of it, and it has a heads-up display, and it will actually cast 3D images like enhanced or augmented reality, as they call it. So you could actually look out, I could look out into traffic out there in our office, and it would, show an overlay of, Google Maps or whatever, or something like that. Kind of neat. You can actually do hand motion controls with it. But I mean, you look like you're wearing a blaster helmet from Star Wars. So
sure.
I don't know if you even want to be walking around with that. It seems a little silly. There's a lot of interesting things in terms of facial recognition software. People are getting tired of that. Seems to be an interesting theme this year. People are getting tired of remembering all the passwords, and they're afraid of phishing scams and getting hacked. So facial recognition software, security protocols, apps for your mobile devices, they seem to be everywhere this year. Having add-on webcams that can do facial recognition for your, for your notebook that doesn't have.
Having seen Face Off, this makes me a little bit nervous.
Yeah, it is a little strange. It's not. I don't know how far or advanced or how efficient the technology is, but I mean that's one of the reasons you go to CES, kind of see this stuff in action. And it'll be interesting. I definitely want to check out a few of the booths with this stuff so I can kind of get a feel for, all right, does this work? Is it really recognizing my face? And, if I take a photo of my face and show it to the webcam, is it going to work the same way? I don't know. We'll see. But, and doing those sort of demos will be a lot easier this year than, getting tased like I did last year, which was not fun.
Yeah, that was a shocking development.
Yeah, very funny. The big themes, like I said, Ultrabooks, there are a lot of cloud devices. People are still trying to pump cloud toward the consumer. And you, as the cloud editor, know that it's something that it's not quite there yet. I mean, Apple has iCloud. Amazon has their cloud drive.
From what I've learned, when you're targeting the consumer with the cloud, you don't have to call it the cloud. That just confuses things.
It is, because they don't
just
really
tell
know.
Them what it does. Let them use it. Don't bog it down with marketing speak and catchphrases.
They don't really know what it is.
Leave
yet.
The word cloud out of it.
Yeah,
and people will do just fine.
Yeah, but there are a lot of things like that to sort of enhance, especially the storage on your mobile devices, which. Mm-hmm. Could be strapped for.
It sounds like mobile is going to play a big role this year. Between your thoughts on what Microsoft may talk about, some of the chips,
sure,
for mobile devices, kind of a continuation of that tablet craze from previous years. Are there other themes? I mean, mobile, cloud, maybe not specific technology sets, but all in like general themes that. security. You expect in 2012.
Yeah, like facial recognition. I think there's going to be a lot of security, more consumer-focused, obviously, stuff. Like, not just facial recognition, but, you know, just security keys and things like that. You know, devices like keychains type mm-hmm. stuff that you can have on you to protect, you know, as an extra layer to protect what you're carrying with you when you're on the road. Another thing is, man, the smartphones, like you just mentioned, you're going to start to see phones with, NVIDIA has Tegra 3 now, and that people are kind of waiting to see, you know, the new crop of 4G phones that are running a quad core chip. I mean, you know, it wasn't that long ago that we were seeing quad core chips just introduced on desktops, mm-hmm. and now they're on our smartphones. It's going to be really interesting to see, like, with the functionality and the performance of those 4G phones, is it going to start to sort of outpace the form factor? Like, how much can you really do with the phone? It can be that powerful, yes, but, you know, are you going to be able to run like an office productivity type app on your phone? And how would you manage that on your phone? Mm-hmm. So I think that's going to be something that people are going to be looking at. I mean, people at this point kind of know what the limitations are with a tablet and what they can do with it, and it's more really about the specs and the storage and the processor speed and the amount of memory that you have on the device, and less about like the actual form factor, because people have figured out ways to use it, not just using the touchscreen, but putting it in a docking station and having a virtual keyboard or a real keyboard. But it's the smartphone is really kind of, I mean, how far can you go with it? How much work can you do with it on the road? Can it ever really be a replacement for your notebook? How are you going to be able to input information, input data? You know, what are the inputs mm-hmm. for a phone? And the demonstrations for that, I have a feeling are really going to if there are some good ones, are really going to start to sort of dominate the conversation at the show. But again, it's earth shattering, because people are expecting that.
Sure.
When you go into CES, I think people want to be wowed with something they're not expecting, and I don't know if there's going to be one thing like that this year. Mm-hmm. And furthermore, just going back to what I was saying earlier about with Microsoft dropping out and now, you know, the Verizon keynote being canceled, I kind of have to start to wonder about, you know, is CES on the decline? Is it going to start to kind of go downhill again? And that show came in after Comdex and really filled a void, because a lot of companies that had been showing at Comdex were now moving, you know, to January and taking advantage of CES and the crowd. And the two shows were very similar, even though Comdex was more business and CES obviously more consumer. But now you're kind of wondering, like, what's going on with this? With this show now, if Microsoft's not going to be there, who's going to follow? Is it going to be Intel? Who's going to be the next company to kind of drop out and say, maybe the show isn't worth it, maybe it's getting a little too big, a little too chaotic? Microsoft had a lot of interesting thoughts when they made the announcements. They said, you know, look, with social media and you know, new ways to interact and engage your own audience, why do you sort of need these big trade shows? And I thought it was an interesting point.
It's a question that's been asked for a little while, for a couple of years now. You know, is the trade show as we know it kind of over, when you can engage through different mediums and everything's done online? I mean, I know I've gone to events this last year that, you know, you spend the money and the time and you get to the West Coast and everything's broadcast over the web. You could have just sat at your desk.
Yeah.
And done the same job that you did. You know?
Yeah. I mean, for a show,
you missed some of the personal connections, but.
Yeah, for a show like this, I think it's interesting to actually be there and hold the things. It's like, you know, it's like going shoe shopping. You don't really want to buy it online. You'd like to get your feet in there first. And I think that's still an advantage that a show like this has. The question is that can they still attract enough marquee companies that want to use that as a jumping off point, that
sure.
want to use that as an introduction? And, you know, it worked very well for Lenovo 2 years ago. I mean, Lenovo changed its image, you know, within a week. People thought differently about that company. They weren't known as like a very stylish, innovative company. They just were known as the Chinese company that bought the ThinkPad business, the PC business from IBM, but they really kind of turned it around and introduced some stuff that people didn't, or people weren't expecting, never thought they would have had. Hmm. So I think there's still potential for a company to go in there and do that. It's just, you kind of have to start to wonder if they're not getting a lot of marquee keynotes, they're going to have to find someone next year to fill in for Microsoft. And it can't be Intel, because Intel's still as big and powerful as they are. It's not sexy. You're talking about microchips. Would they be able to attract somebody like a Facebook? Facebook or Google? Perhaps. I don't know. I mean, what? Then you start to talk about, okay, well, you know, would it be something like Google TV that Google could come in and talk about? I don't know. I mean, and Facebook, are they there yet as a sort of a consumer brand, as something that you want to sell to your audience? Why would they need CES? You know, you kind of have to think of it that way. Whereas, you know, Microsoft obviously still wants to get out in front of people, and they still want a brand to people. That's a big part of their game.
Sure.
I don't know what's going to happen with the show, but it's this year. I mean, hopefully there'll be some interesting stuff out there. There'll be some surprising stuff that we're not expecting, but I think it's going to be sort of a down year. Still worth going, obviously, and still worth seeing some of the stuff that, like the Intel chips I mentioned earlier, like the Ultrabooks. But it's going to be a dip from what we've seen in previous years. So,
well, I look forward to hearing, you know, what next week and what you're seeing at the show and getting some of your takeaways. Maybe we can reconvene for a CES wrap up.
Yeah.
See if some of these thoughts ring true and you know, kind of wrap things up.
Well, I'm sure I'll have a lot of interesting stories. Both Kevin and I. We'll have some stuff to talk about. And hopefully I won't be too tired or sick or hungover after a week in Vegas.
You'll probably be all three.
To pull it off. Maybe just two out of three, and I'd take it. So,
all right.
But thanks for spending some time with me to discuss CES, Andrew. I really appreciate it.
And I appreciate you being here. And just make sure you say hi to Snooki for me.
When
you're out in Las Vegas.
I'll get an autograph for you.
Perfect.
And thanks for listening to the CRN podcast, and we'll talk to you guys again soon.
Thank you.